you catch that? In case you didn't know who the lead pastor was, I just wanted you to know. Hey, we're glad you're here. We're in our book of the study of Proverbs. And today we are talking about finances and generosity. Proverbs is loaded. And if anyone says we don't use the Word of God at Rock Family Church, just tell them to listen to today. So get your pens geared up. Get ready to go. We're going to dive in. This book is loaded with wisdom about finances and about money and about our future and about the subject of generosity. So if you're taking notes, let's begin. Number one, generosity produces abundance, so we're able to maintain the generous flow. It says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then, everybody say then. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. The world system says keep all you can get, save everything for yourself. God's system of generosity follows the laws of sowing and reaping, that whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. And so we serve an extravagantly generous God who loves us and gives with reckless abandon. In 2 Corinthians 9:9, it's the Message version. It says, as one psalmist puts it, he throws caution to the winds, giving to the needy in reckless abandon. His right living, right giving ways never run out, never wear out. And God wants us to take on his generous nature. In the book of Romans and chapter 8 and verse 31, it says, if God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? In other words, he didn't hold anything back. He is a generous God, and he's saying, I want my children to be generous as well. Let's go back to the book of Proverbs, chapter 11. It says, give freely. This doesn't make sense. Look at it. Give freely and become more wealthy. If we walked out and I said, I want to book CNN, I'd have a word to the nation of the United States of America. Give freely and you'll become more wealthy. People would change the channel, idiot, dummy, that's stupid, on their system. But on God's system, give freely, become more wealthy, be stingy, and lose everything. The generous will prosper. I love this. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. See, this passage of Scripture reminds me from the book of Malachi. Now, if any of you heard back last month, Pastor Creflo Dollar came out with a statement, and he came out and he made a statement that he said, I deny all teaching that I have ever done on the book of tithing. He said, burn the tapes and CDs, burn the books. He said, the principles of grace, he just kind of had his own personal revelation that he said, because of teachings in the times past, get rid of it. But here's what he said. So every Christian should diligently pray and seek God's wisdom in the matters of participating on how much you should give. He said, that's the whole point. Well, let me show you how some people used, I don't know what he did, but here's the way some people would teach Malachi chapter 3. They'd start with verse 8, and it said, should people cheat God? Yet you have cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? Referring to God. You have cheated me, God said, in tithes and offerings due to me. You are under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. Now, what people would preach is, you better tithe or God's going to curse your business and your finances and you're going under. I'm going to scare you into giving to God or he'll get you. But we live under a new and better covenant. Jesus took away the curse, but he left the blessing. Are you following me? Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law. Galatians 3:13. But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law when he was hung on the cross. He took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who was hung on a tree. Check this out. But he kept the blessings in place. Scratch out the first two verses, 8 and 9. Pick up with verse 10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heavenly armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test, he says. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of the heavens of the armies. Then all nations will call you blessed, for your land will be such a delight, says the Lord of the heavens of the armies. It's following what Proverbs is saying. Proverbs, let's go back to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 22:9. Blessed are those who are, everybody say it, generous, because they feed the poor. Proverbs 19, if you help the poor, you are lending to the Lord, and he will repay you. God's saying, if you will do this, I will bless you, I will prosper you. Not so we can go, me, 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 me. No, he wants to keep the supply line going. He wants to bless you so you can be a continual blessing. Proverbs 28:27. Whoever gives to the poor will lack nothing, but those who close their eyes to poverty will be cursed. No, we're not under that curse anymore. Proverbs 21:25. Despite their desires, the lazy will come to ruin, for their hands refuse to work. Some people are always greedy for more. But the godly, we love to give. You see, our foundation, jot this scripture down, it's not in your notes. Our foundation for giving is 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, because God loves a cheerful giver. Can I just share something? You are loved, you are valuable, you are priceless, and you are precious in this church. If you never give a dime, you can never come here and say, well, they don't love me because I don't give anything. I don't know what you give anyways. I'm not going, let's see, what do you give? What do you give? That's none of my business. Watch this. I just like to love people. And I believe that if you love God, out of the abundance of the love for God, you'll begin to fund and give towards God things. Amen? Now, the world system is greed. And it doesn't work. Here's why. Number two, greed leads to grief. Proverbs 15:27. Greed brings grief to the whole family. But those who hate bribes will live. Proverbs 19:22. Greedy people try to get rich quick, but don't realize they're headed for poverty. Proverbs 28:25. Greed causes fighting. Trusting the Lord leads to prosperity. You see, why is greed lead to grief? Because it's a contradiction to the character and the nature of the God that made us and created us. Love says, I put others first. I prefer others. Number three, we have to choose who or what we will put our trust into. We have to come with a decision. You see, our finances and our wealth and our possessions our security, or is God going to be our security? Who or what will we put our trust into? Let's look at verse chapter 18 of Proverbs, verse 10. It says, the name, now, let me pause before I read this. I want you to see the middle verse, okay? Verse 11 is packed by verse 12, 10, and 12. It's sandwiched, okay? The name of the Lord is a strong fortress. The godly run to him, and they are safe. Now let's go to the world's ways, verse 11. The rich think of their wealth as a strong defense. They imagine it to be a high wall of safety. Verse 12, the sandwich. Haughtiness goes before destruction. Humility precedes honor. The godly run to him, and he is their defense. And we're humbled that we can serve God before him. And so we put our trust in him. Proverbs 11:28 says this, trust in your money and down you go. Down you go. But the godly, another way to talk about the godly is to be godlike. Those who are like God flourish like leaves in the spring. Psalms 20, verse 7 and 8. Some nations boast of their chariots and their horses, and we are confident we have the biggest army and the strongest horses and the best built chariots. But we boast in the name of the Lord our God. Those nations will fall down and collapse, but we will rise up and stand firm. Why? Because we put our hope, our trust, and our confidence in God. Proverbs 30 and verse 8, first, help me never to tell a lie. Second, give me neither poverty nor riches. Give me just enough to satisfy my needs. Why? He describes it in verse 9. For if I grow rich, I might deny you and say, who is the Lord? And if I'm too poor, I might steal and thus insult God's holy name. See, there's a place of contentment. God means supply my needs. That's what Philippians 4:19 says. My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Okay? And it's we put our trust and our confidence in him. Let's look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned, the Apostle Paul said, how to be content with whatever I have. He said, I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or with a little. Verse 13, for I can do everything through Christ. Through Christ, the one I put my hope, my trust, my confidence. My confidence is not what I have or don't have. My confidence is not what my bank account says. My confidence is not in money, in finance, or possessions. My confidence, I can accomplish, I can go through, I can handle any trial because Christ is my strength. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Proverbs 15:16, better to have a little with fear of the Lord than to have great treasure and inner turmoil. Proverbs 16:8, better to have a little with godliness than to be rich and be dishonest. If some people would pursue God the way they pursued money, they would be some of the richest human beings on earth, not in necessarily their bank accounts, but rich in life, rich in love, rich in relationships, rich in the community of believers with Christ. Proverbs 23:4, don't wear yourself out trying to get rich. Be wise enough to know when to quit. In the blink of an eye, wealth disappears. I don't know about you, but what I had in my mutual funds account and Kim and I's retirement, what we had 1 year ago to what we have right now, we're living this out, baby. In a blink of an eye. For it will sprout wings and fly away like an eagle. But my trust is not in our government. My trust is not in the percentage rate, in the interest rate. My trust is not in the world system. My trust is in Him. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 16. He said, if you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? Now understand, we can go to extremes in either direction, all right? But on your notes, number four, wisdom on the subject of finance. Our work ethic is directly related to our financial success. And the crowd roared, amen, hallelujah, glory to God. Yes, yes, amen. Proverbs 10:4. Lazy people are soon poor. Hard workers get rich. Proverbs 12:24 out of the Living Bible. Work hard and become a leader. Be lazy and never succeed. Proverbs 14. Work brings profit, but mere talk leads to poverty. Wealth is a crown for the wise. The effort of fools yields only foolishness. All too often, people want to give minimum effort and expect maximum results. Proverbs 6, it was been decades ago I read this for the first time, and I just kind of swallowed real hard. A little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Then poverty will pounce on you like a bandit. Scarcity will attack you like an armed robber. Proverbs 21:5, good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. Okay, if you put the sign on the pole, I'm digging just a little bit. But you've been sitting at the stoplight and you see over in the sign, work from home, part-time, make $30,000 a month. Right? Have you seen that sign? And you're like, hey. Work part-time. And here's what I know about sales and multi-level marketing and all of that. The one who really exceeds and excels is the one who doesn't sit at home part-time, but they're giving the extra effort, okay? Proverbs 21 and verse 17. Those who love pleasure become poor. Those who love wine and luxury will never be rich. Proverbs 21 and verse 20. The wise have wealth and luxury. Uh-oh, but fools spend whatever they get. You should be tucking away 10% in your savings account, retirement. You should be tucking that away. It should just be, bye-bye, I'll see you in a couple decades. And you'll be thankful when you come to that retirement age that you did, okay? Number five, we've got two more points. Number five, I'm going to help somebody here. I'm going to free you up. Refrain from loaning money. All of us, if you've been on this earth for a couple decades or more, have had a friend, a family member, someone close to you say, hey, could I borrow some money? Hey, and we're always in that, I'm just going to be blunt. I don't know that there's any of us that go, oh, I would love to loan money. I love to loan money. I love to give money. I don't love to loan money. There's repercussions. Let's talk about it. Proverbs chapter 11. There's danger in putting up security for strangers, a stranger's debt. It's safer not the word of the Lord. It's safer to not guarantee another person's debt. Proverbs 17:18. It's poor judgment to guarantee another person's debt or put up security for a friend. Why not? I'm glad you asked. On your notes, A, you're entrusting your financial future into the hands of a person who has already proven they are financially unstable. Okay? Otherwise, they wouldn't need a loan. And here's what happened. you've surrendered control of a portion of your future to them. Proverbs 22 and verse 26 says this, don't agree to guarantee another person's debt or put up security for someone else. If you can't pay it, even your bed will be snatched from under you. In other words, the creditors are going to come and you say, no, I didn't take the loan. I was just guaranteeing their loan. They say, I don't care. Your name's on the note. We're taking your car. We're taking your stuff to pay back this note and this loan. B, second reason, their poor choices impact your financial integrity. It has the potential to impact your credit score, your potential to qualify for a home mortgage loan, and potentially a loss of possessions to cover their debt. Proverbs 6, verse 1 and 4 says this, my child, if you have put up security for a friend's debt or agreed to guarantee the debt of a stranger, if you have trapped yourself by your agreement and caught by what you said, here's what he says in verse 3, follow my advice and save yourself, for you have placed yourself at your friend's mercy. Swallow your pride. Go and beg to have your name erased. Don't put it off. Do it now. Don't rest until you do. So you can watch. You can go home from church today, call that sister, that sibling, that loved one, that friend, and go, hey, I know I put my name on that note for that car. Or I know I did. I helped you out there. We need to settle this up now. Like my pastor, well, really not my pastor. The Bible told me I need to dissolve this transaction. That this was really foolishness. Okay? Third reason, C, it transforms the nature of the relationship from friend or family member to borrower and lender. This is huge. It changes the dynamic. Now when they call or you call, when they call, you're like, they're coming back for more. And all they wanted to know is, can you come over for the 4th of July? But now you're on guard. Are they going to ask for more? But when you call them, they're going, he wants his money back. Don't answer it. And all you wanted to do was say, what service are you going to? Can we meet you there? But now it has changed the dynamics of the relationship. Proverbs 22:7 describes it, just as the rich rule the poor, so the borrower becomes a servant to the lender. They now feel like a slave to you, and it changes the dynamics of who they are. And so, let's just go to D. Here we go. It has the potential to damage the relationship. It could ruin a relationship. And E, here's the ugly truth about lending money to friends or family, taken from bankrate.com if you don't believe me. Here we go, let's hit it. 46% of adults reported having a negative outcome to loaning money to family or friends. 37% said they lost money. 21% experienced a damaged relationship with their borrower. 20% said their credit score was damaged. And 18% reported losing money in the process. So create a personal boundary. I don't do loans. I'm sorry. You say, well, what am I to do? Here's the way I've approached it. I don't do loans, but if it's within my resources and I feel like I can and should, I will give you the money. Then I don't become the lender and you're the borrower and it changes the dynamic. Now I've given out of grace, because here's the deal. You say, well, I want to loan money. Then only loan money that you're willing to go, bye-bye. That you're okay if it's never paid back, then you won't be damaged, hurt, or wounded in the process. But are there more practical ways to assist them? Let's go back to what Scripture teaches us, Proverbs 16:16. How much better to get wisdom than gold and good judgment than silver. Rather than feeding their lifestyle, maybe if we sat down and life coach them, maybe if we said, I'm not going to loan you money, but I would love
to help share the wisdom and the experience that we have gained. Are you willing for me to sit down and help you with your budget? Are you willing for me to sit down and help you determine? Would you go to Dave Ramsey Financial Peace University with me? Can I assist you? And if they say no, then they don't understand that wisdom would get them out of their situation. Let's wrap it up. Number 6, establish a financial legacy that extends 2 generations. See, we're not just saving for ourselves. And I'm not just saving for my kids to have something. Kim and I are up to 3. Some of you are so far ahead of us in grandchildren, I'm a little jealous at this point. They're a beautiful thing. Love them, spoil them, send them home. Right? You know? But here's what Scripture challenges us in this area of finances. Proverbs 13, verse 22. Good people leave an inheritance to their grandchildren, but the sinner's wealth passes to the godly. What is it saying? Scripture advises us to become good financial stewards of the blessings that has come in, that we can then give and bless, and that we, follow me, we have enough in retirement to meet our needs, that we're not eating beans and rice, beans and rice, beans and rice, you know, but we're living at our comfortable means. But we have enough in reserve, watch this, that when you die, there's a little bit of sadness, but they're like, when are we going to meet? Because they see the blessings that are coming to them and the blessings that are coming to the children. Now, Kim and I, we just redid our will like in the last year. It was almost 8-10 months ago. Our previous will, our children went to Dennis and Becky, who are now, Dennis is passed and Becky's here, and my kids are in their 30s. So I don't know that they really would have appreciated that you're going to grandma's house at age 30. So we changed our will. And when we changed our will, we did a couple things. We said, we divided out, you know, that it's going to be shared equally between our 3 kids. But we said, I forget the percentage. X percent, was it 30%? You don't remember? X percent could not be spent by our kids, but had to go to the next generation. That we wanted our legacy to continue. So in other words, our kids couldn't come and just go, hey, mom and dad passed, woo! There was a stopgate. Not that they would, okay? Not that they would. I'm not saying that. I love and respect my kids, and they have good wisdom. But we want to ensure that there's something for that second generation. Now, something else that we did, I think they know this. If Kim and I get hit by a bus, plows into whatever taco station we are going to today, and we are dead as doornails, my kids, the oldest one is 33. They don't get a dime until they're 40. Why? Proverbs 20. Do we have that? An inheritance obtained too early in life is not a blessing in the end. I think different at 40 than I did in my 20s. I had a lot more wisdom in that decade of time. From 30 to 40, I looked at things a whole lot different. So we wrote in there. Now, they can pull off for some initial needs if there's, you know, something needs to be fixed or replaced, that the executor of the will can say, yes, you know, we can make an adjustment for that. But as far as receiving their 1/3 portion, they don't get it till they're at least 40. Why? Because of the Scripture. When we follow Scripture, the blessings, the favor, and the goodness of God come. Would you stand to your feet with me? Siri, remember. remind us all to pray for $24 a day to come into this church. Could you plant $24 a month? Could you plant $24 every 2 weeks? $12 a week? You say, I don't understand how that'll get us there. It's everybody doing a little bit and being a little generous, and it's our collective effort that creates the big win. Amen? Let me pray over you, your home, your finances. Father, I pray blessings over my brothers and my sisters in Christ. I pray that they would capture your generous heart. I pray that when they see a person in need, that God, that you would show them how they can participate and be a blessing to that person. Lord, maybe it's buying some new clothes for that neighbor family that is struggling or tight, that's in the apartment upstairs or downstairs from where they are. Lord, maybe it's just handing some money that we're led by the Spirit, and we hand a 20 or a 50 or a 100 or whatever it might be, that you've put somebody on our heart to just bless them. That we don't even have to know what the need is, but we have the Spirit within us that helps us and shows us how we can give. Maybe it's buying the coffee or the meal for the person behind us in drive-thru. We don't know what they're going through. Lord, show us. Teach us how to be generous. Teach us how to be good stewards over the finances that you've blessed us with. And Lord, we know when we sow, when we give, and it hurts, it stings, it's a sacrifice, that you'll replenish us so that we can replenish others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I have a question before we close. If I told you that one of my old high school friends works for one of the most top secret research institutes in the world, and they have done research and they came up with a liquid that will wipe out every disease, and if you take it and drink it, you will never die. Like, you'll live on and on. You'll outlive everyone in your family and household. And we put it on the open market on eBay. And we said, and it's guaranteed, backed by $100 million backup, that if you do die or do get sick, we will bless your family with $100 million. How much would you pay to never be sick and to never, ever die? I mean, like, you're in the Marvel movies now, okay? This would go for billions, to never die. But you know what? God says, I'm paying the price so that every one of you will never die. And I'm going to cause you to live forever free of charge. All you have to do is accept my gift of love through my son, Jesus Christ. Yet people are like, no, I don't need God's help. Wow. You say, but I see people die. Oh, you see their body die. Camera one or two, whichever you are, would you come in really close to right here? Yeah, keep coming. Seeing these eyes? Look at the screens, people. See these eyes right here? See me? I'm looking out the windows. This is the windows, but the real guy on the inside will never, ever die. I will live forever in hell, in darkness and damnation, or I'll live in life and victory in the throne room of God. Amen? You have a choice. Amen? So today, I give this room a choice. Choose death or choose life. You don't need to buy anything. It's a free gift. All God is asking you to do is to say, I want that. I want some. and you raise your hand. I'm going to count to three. If you say, I want the love, the life, and the victory that God has for me, I'm ready to submit and yield my life to Him. I'm going to count to three. You're going to shoot your hand in the air. We're going to cheer and celebrate for you. And someone is going to come and pray with you right where you stand. And you will get eternal life for absolutely free. Let's go for it. Today's your day. On the count of three, starting new, starting over, surrendering to God. Here we go. One, two, three. Shoot that hand up in this room. There's one right there. Anybody else? There's one right over here. There's two. There's two. Is that a third one? Is that the same one? Two, three. Anybody else? Come on, church. Thank you for joining us today. I hope you've enjoyed the service. If you live here in Colorado Springs or you're going to be in the city, I hope that you'll come and experience the service firsthand. And for those of you that are enjoying the ministry and you're being fed to on a weekly basis, I invite you to partner with us financially and make an investment into the mission and the vision of Rock Family Church. And lastly, if you've never made a commitment and a decision to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, would you make that decision today? Why wait till tomorrow? Why wait till next weekend? I dare you to pray this prayer with me. Would you close your eyes? Would you pray this prayer with me and repeat it? It goes like this. Pray this with me. Say, Dear God, forgive me of all of my sins and mistakes. I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And I invite Him to be the Lord of my life. Thank you for loving me and forgiving me. My life is now in your hands. Jesus Christ is my Lord. Amen. Hey, thanks for making that commitment. Will you email us at info@rockfamilychurch.com? Tell us about your new decision to stand up big and live strong for Jesus Christ. We'd love to celebrate with you. God bless you guys. We'll see you next weekend.